for a case that is really relatively new on our radar. There's a lot of really messed up pieces to it already. Talking about the death, the murder of 13-year-old Madeline Soto. Been talking quite a bit about mom and her partner. But another piece to this that's been very messed up is the outrage over the sheriff sharing a photo of her corpse on Instagram.
You know, what do you, are you on Instagram? Because I am.
I am.
So the things that I share mostly, I've taken up baking sourdough bread. I've got two adorable little kitty. Well, they're not little anymore, but cats. So that's kind of what I do on Instagram. That's kind of my thing. Like fun stuff. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, look at this new pair of teaks I just got. Shoes. Mm-hmm. It's a little different than here's a dead fucking body.
Well, and it wasn't done on purpose. That's the thing. It was done. He posted a photo of, I believe, another event that something was going on, and the caption reflected that. And then on the next photo was the corpse picture. Like, oops.
Well, good at social media, if you're not good at picking your thumbnails, you know,
well,
getting the right photo, maybe don't do it.
Well, the other big question is, why on earth was this body photo on a device that was being used for his personal social media? That mm-hmm. that is another huge, huge thing. The Osceola County Sheriff's Office is under fire following the controversial sharing of that photo, believed to depict the lifeless body of 13-year-old Madeline Soto on social media. Sheriff Marcos Lopez ignited the controversy when he allegedly posted the disturbing image on his personal Instagram page just hours after Soto's body was discovered in a rural area outside St. Cloud. Lopez claimed the post was accidental. The public condemnation was very swift, many questioning the appropriateness and ethics of sharing. Clearly, he didn't intend to do it. Now, that doesn't dismiss any of this, though. In a separate incident, the sheriff's executive director, Nerva Rodriguez, added fuel to the fire by posting a selfie with the suspect, Stephen Stearns, during a perp walk, accompanied by a caption that drew further criticism. These actions directly violate the sheriff's own social media policy, which explicitly prohibits the dissemination of information from ongoing criminal investigations, including photographs, as well as making statements about the guilt or innocence of any suspect. So it was like a double whammy of, now that one, I believe, was more intentional. That one, law enforcement expert Roddy Nelson expressed dismay at the violations, emphasizing the importance of adhering to established policies and procedures. I'm wondering if they had any. It makes you look at the leadership. I mean, that's all one can do. And once again, it goes back to transparency and accountability. Nelson and Brock reflecting the broader concerns regarding the conduct of the sheriff's office. Compounding the controversy is the revelation that the Osceola County Sheriff's Office was not the lead agency investigating Soto's death, raising questions about why the graphic photo was in Sheriff Lopez's possession and who took it. Despite inquiries, the sheriff's office has remained tight-lipped on these matters, fueling further speculation and frustration.
That's a big issue there, Tony, because if the Osceola County Sheriff's Office wasn't that lead agency, they shouldn't have had that photo to begin with.
They shouldn't have, or if they did have it, it should be on a secure drive. It should not be on the sheriff's cell phone. You should never have evidence photos from a case on your cell phone. I just had a big conversation with Bob Mata about this, and it'll be a segment that airs next week here on the podcast, asking, you know, what is the protocol on this sort of thing? And no, you should never be taking photos on your cell phone of a crime scene, period. You can easily violate many laws that way as well. And depending on if the photo, I don't know how they found Madeline. I don't know if she was naked. I don't know what the situation was. If she wasn't clothed, that'd be considered child pornography as well. So if that's on your device, that's highly illegal. Evidence or not. If it's on your personal device and not in an evidence storage area with the police department. It's shocking. There's very few reasons why one would have to, why one would have those on their phone for legitimate reasons. One would be if you're like the first officer to a scene and you're concerned about contamination of the evidence, like say it's about to storm and it's outside and there's a footprint and you're like, and you're the rest of your crew is not there yet to gather the evidence or take pictures, and you're just going to do what you can. That's understandable, but then you would get him off of your device. It wouldn't still remain there for accidentally posting onto Instagram. Those sort of things just should never, ever be in a place where this sort of thing should happen. There should be clear protocol that these do not get put on personal devices. They shouldn't be on something where it's going to accidentally be clicked on to get onto Instagram. But clearly, those protocols aren't being followed in the Osceola County Sheriff's Office very well.
Yeah, you know, it takes me back to, and it, kind of a different situation, but Kobe Bryant, when he died in the helicopter accident, those photos were everywhere. Shit, I even saw one.
There was, well,
of the accident and body parts.
Oh,
somebody
I didn't see
on scene took photos and shared them. Well, as soon as you share that with somebody, it's over. You don't know where they're going to go.
That
you know?
Sounds horrible. I never saw those. I don't want to see those.
Yeah, don't. It's not. And I'm sure that they're harder to find now, but within 24 hours of that accident, they were all over the web.
Oh, God.
And I can't unsee it. To me, it's like Faces of Death from the 80s.
Yeah. I still have that. Like, you bring that up, and I remember Rotten.com. In the 90s when the internet was, you know, kind of becoming a thing, and it was like, there's all sorts of crazy things on the internet. And that was one of the websites. And I remember it was just like the most gruesome photos. And God, there was one of like somebody that got run over by a train. I will never unsee that one. It's still scarred into my mind about 30 years later.
But it's traumatic.
It is again, this is some, I mean, is this going to affect the trial? Is this going to have any sort of impact, you know, when this gets there, if there ever is a trial or what happens? Likely not. I don't think it's going to really do a whole hell of a lot, but it certainly is cause for looking into that department and their policies and their procedures. And there should be some accountability here. It can't just be, oops, we're sorry, we're never going to speak of it again. Which seems to be kind of what they're trying to do right now.
It adds another layer of what the fuck. I mean, and look at, we've spent this entire time talking about not even the victim.
No,
you know,
there's a whole other side to this case that we're not even talking. I mean, the whole case is insane in itself. And that's, you can, on our social media, you can see all of that, and on everywhere, on YouTube and all that, there's a lot going on surrounding the mother, surrounding the partner, the dad, or not the dad, but the rapist, basically, who's been arrested and charged with that crime as of right now. Mm-hmm. And as of the second, I think they're still trying to figure out who knew what when. And it doesn't look very favorable for the mother. Her stories have been conflicting left and right. She's in some interviews saying that we dropped her off, and others, or in the same interview later, she says it was just him who dropped him off. Then she has an account of seeing her the night before, and that was the last time she saw her. And then the next interview, she saw her in the morning. And then it was, she was on surveillance footage when they dropped her off. She was never on surveillance footage because she's never been dropped off.
Just how soon before the mom gets nailed too?
By the time this airs, probably. I don't know. I mean, I think it's only a matter of time, quite honestly. As of right now, innocent, no charges, not supposedly a suspect right now. I don't know if she had anything to do with it, or if she was just complicit, or if who knows? Who the hell knows? But I'm sorry, she looks extremely questionable in terms of her not having her stories remotely straight on multiple parts of this case and what's going on with her daughter. Not to mention, she seems to have zero emotion about her daughter being missing. It was like, well, I don't think they should be. I don't think they're going to find anything over there. They're over by the river right now, but I don't think they're going to find anything. I think it makes her voice go really high on cue when, like, it's an emotional question, and pretends to cry and dabs the non-existent tears. And then they make their voice crack a little bit when it seems like I should feel emotion. My question is, how do you not feel emotion?
Right.
I guess.
Exactly.
That's
and she knew what happened.
Well, maybe she did. Maybe she didn't. I don't know. I mean, but even if you did know what happened, how do you have zero emotion? It's your daughter. And at that point in time, missing. But if you already know the answer to that question, and you're more so, everyone's concerned for your daughter and she's missing, and that's the narrative that we're all looking at as this was ongoing. But when you already know the answer to that question, you're more concerned about covering your ass. So that's why there's no real tears. That's why there's no red eyes. That's why you're so matter of fact that you're talking about it like you're ordering, you know, fucking pizza. Yeah, pizza. Like, oh my, it was just so cold. Yeah. It's mind boggling. If you want to watch
it, empty. Yeah.
Empty, completely empty. If you want to watch that interview and our dissection of it, I did a big video on it today, dissecting it. It's on YouTube, on the Hidden Killers podcast YouTube channel. And it's, God, yeah. I don't have words for it, but there's a lot wrong with this case. A lot.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.